Renee and I are all set and ready to go. We take some time prior to setting the space for sacred space to feel ourselves connected and balanced in our own energies and in the earth energies. And Renee, do you want to talk about kind of how you're sitting? Because I think this is such an important aspect of making life sacred intentionally on purpose, and then feeling that reciprocal flow back from the earth as well.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you, Amanda. So I'm always guided to sit in certain spots whenever, like you said, that we are doing something sacred, that we are doing something that is not of the norm, although in essence, everything is sacred and the norm is sacred as well. But I find that when I'm very present with that energy, there is more that is going on in that eternal now than you'd even imagine. So for instance, the last time we did this podcast, and yay, we're doing our second podcast. Wonderful to be here with you, Amanda. And I'm sure we have a little catching up to do, and sort of, what do they call that? Kind of like circling back and circling forward. But the last time I was actually sitting with my back to the east and I was facing the west, and I really thought I was going to be in the same spot. And what's kind of lovely about that area is that is like what I call my creative space. And I have been in this incredible flow of decluttering and nesting at the same time, like in that area in reference to my creative artsy space. So today, as I was getting ready to, like you said, you know, get ready for this podcast, originally, I was going to sit where I was drumming, which was a totally different chair. I kind of call it like my, I think we all have these special chairs. They're almost like our thrones because they give us the energy we need, but we can also release the energy that we need as well. And I was drumming, and this incredible sound came out of my mouth as I was drumming and chanting. And then all of a sudden, I felt a pull to the south. So I'm sitting in front of a window facing the south with my back to the north. And all I'm going to say about that, and whatever our listeners take into consideration in reference to directions and their own directions, is the north for me is the ancestors. And I feel as though the ancestors are behind me, and I'm facing the south, which is the place of healing and transformation, and that is the sun as well. Like, not the sun so much, but like more of light, like a lot of light, I guess you could say. So fire in the south. So earth and fire for me.
And I'm air and water, so we talked a lot about, in the beginning, I sat down before we recorded, and I said, Renee, I'm surrounded by so much water, and it's that wellspring, feeling that wellspring, kind of like when we move more into that fifth dimensional consciousness of pulling ourselves out of the voices of the collective, and kind of, you know, those images of like kind of hovering above the earth and just sending these waves of love to our reality, because the earth is the container for our reality, which is so sacred in itself. We were talking a little bit about how sacred, you know, I don't think we were talking in the physical about this, but we were certainly talking about it telepathically, the sacredness of the body. And I love how you talked about the throne. Because there's a lot of misconceptions about the throne that can be ego connected, because, you know, the Middle Age monarchies that were not heart centered necessarily. And I have this picture in front of me from one of my sacred journeys to Egypt. And it reminds me of a lot of the temples there are made in the image of the human body, which is kind of like that nesting doll microcosm of your temple and the temple that you and Eric own and work out of. And we've talked a lot about how that's connected to the Kabbalah, ancient Kabbalah. and the ancient temples, especially at Luxor. It's designed from the human body. And the throne is kind of that reminder for holding sacredness for the body, for the temple. And we get stuck in sometimes the mundane everyday world where we're not necessarily honoring everything in sacredness. These are important moments to come back to that. So I think one of the things I want to mention is a lot of the sacred journeys that I've been on, the women that I'm with or the men that I'm with, we very much kind of like the altar or the temple, the sacred space that we're setting, we'll find ourselves in these interesting locations and dynamics and positions. And it's really beautifully operating. We talked a lot about the swimming dolphins, Renee and I, in this like pod of moving and healing the land as earth keepers. And we often will be looking at where we are after we've positioned ourselves in almost like that bringing to your knees in awe of how beautiful that kind of Christos or that that pod energy can be when two or more are there together creating this collective love frequency and groups. So I love your face one way, I'm facing the other way. And we've got the ancestors and the ancients who understood this light language and this reality and this way of perceiving reality as the earth temple, the planetary consciousness that one can hold. So thank you for that start. That was beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. And I love how you spoke of the wellspring. There is this wonderful poem I'll never forget from Anna, the book Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, where in the beginning, not so much in the beginning of Genesis, I mean, like in the beginning of the book, there is this beautiful poem, and I use it all the time. I'm not really going to remember it word for word, but I'm going to recall what I can recall. But it's basically like we have this wellspring of knowledge and love that is within us, and it pours out of us, and we shower so many people with it. And it's interesting because you were talking about, you've talked about the wellspring. And then, of course, you said that you were surrounded by the water. And one of the things that, we live in Wellsburg, and I've always found the wellspring a really beautiful indicator of that flow. However, when you were speaking, I also want to give homage to, because next weekend, February 1st, is Imbolc, which also means it's Brigid's, or the well of Brigid. It is technically her day, whatever that means. And you also went to Ireland. Well, I believe, yeah, you went to Ireland as far, I think you did. Or
and Scotland and UK, I was at.
Okay.
Scotland and England and the UK.
Oh, okay.
Ireland, but I'm actually looking at one in Ireland right now, so it's cool.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of, when you start to see all of those connections and all of those synergies, and then going back to your temple, or like you said, the body, wow, that doesn't like really ring a bell for me. So earlier today, with the Oracle cards, we are on what I call week 51 in the Oracle card training. And week 51, card 51, is gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper, just for listeners, and I'm for you too, Amanda, because I know you have the deck, but for people who don't have the deck, I just want you to kind of like imagine this woman who is dressed in white with a little bit of gold. She's not on her throne. I think she's just basically stood up from her throne, or maybe she doesn't sit on the throne at all. But she's looking over her domain, and there is this big, what I call, it looks to me like a clock. And there's this big, huge clock in back of her, and she is the gatekeeper, the timekeeper, and she is the one who is more or less saying, you have my permission to go to or go through. And it's definitely about boundaries as well. Like, you are the gatekeeper for your own temple. And also, who in your life, do you trust or do you work with that sees your temple as valuable as you do? And so I love that when you're talking about, you know, the body and the temple, who do we trust with our body? I mean, that's an interesting right there. Who do we trust with our body besides ourselves?
That is remarkable, because when you think about it, and those who are not treating your body and your soul sacredly, those are the people we tend to not, you know, gravitate to or resonate with. And typically will kind of fall away naturally. And I think that's something that happens to a lot of people once they've had their gates open by a gatekeeper, which is ultimately an aspect of yourself. You've called to you to open your own gates. We don't have access to certain realms until we are ready to. And you hold that and model that so beautifully, in the sense that, you know, through our friendship and our working in these planes together, you've always been so amazing at, you know, I know I'm not ready for that. Or it's a perception of, okay, I've actually been doing that all along. In the gatekeeper, I always think of Ma'at in Egypt, and I always go back to the Egypt language because that's what I was initiated through.
Yeah.
And that's not the fallen pharaoh times of Egypt. I'm talking pre-dynastic divine love psyche Egypt, which has been very lost, which is being remembered and brought back by mystics and adepts across the world right now. And Ma'at is the scales of Ma'at as the gatekeeper is kind of that if your heart is not as light as a feather, you cannot ascend into kind of the next realm, that next octave. And it's very much connected to the chemistry and the alchemy of what frequencies can be held in your temple and your body. And you can't open those gates. Like if you imagine them, you know, the chakras can kind of be symbolic of that, but I see them a little bit differently, almost like a, they're like doorways as well. And each doorway is a little bit bigger than the one before it, if you think of it like a temple gateway. And we have to then fill the shoes of that new body or that higher body or that, in Egypt, it's the, you know, the sensing of the ka body is the fleshy body. And then the sensing of the ka body is more of that light body. And then the ba body is the winged body. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to hold these bodies, and then we move to the ak body. We have to be able to hold the resonant kind of more here, so that our bodies can get comfortable in that frequency. And a lot of that is healing fear, because Ma'at is one of those kind of archetypal gatekeepers that are there to protect us to not go through if we're not ready yet. And we can sense that. We understand that. We have these mystical experiences, and it's really neat, because I heard earlier before we started this, mystic and mystery, right? The mystic is open and open-hearted and surrendered to the mystery, which is a complete annihilation of what we thought to be true at each of these octaves, at each of these new gateways. So the really interesting place we've gone down in this conversation, or up or sideways, or not up and down.
North, east, south, or west, girl.
Right, right. And, yeah, and everything in between, right?
Yeah.
To feel into kind of the ascension and the descension, and all of those places and spaces and consciousness and realities are okay, because it's exactly where we're meant to be when we are.
And I think what's really nice about that too, Amanda, is it comes back to feeling, like really taking the time to feel what you need to feel. And we don't, I mean, it sounds like you just went for a walk. And you did this, you know, you're like, I'm going for a walk. And it was probably a way of kind of having a different experience. So let's talk about that instead. Let's say, in other words, it's so easy to get bogged down and talk about, well, you've got to feel this way or I have feelings about this. But ultimately, we are experiencing life in these bodies. And from what I kind of found from a little bit of the trans channeling that I did last week, which still kind of I'm processing, and that's what you had brought to my attention, is I'm like, wow, she's talking about things I didn't even really think were kind of part of my language. But now as she's mirroring that back to me, it's like, oh, I'm experiencing that, feeling that, seeing that, and becoming that now because something has ping, ping, pinged inside of me to remind me, or like you said before, remember, as in member of the body, the arms, the legs, to remember. I've always loved that word. And I think that part of that is like, you know, when, okay, having that experience, we've learned, and what I kind of learned through that, again, that trans channeling experience, after going back and listening to it, is I am no different than our star brothers and sisters, and our star brothers and sisters are no different than me, and we're all pieces and parts of that same consciousness. And how do we embody that? How do we embody that? And at the same time, we're talking about you going for a walk, or, you know, myself, I'm like sitting there and drumming. And what drove me to drum, and I will use that word, is I was feeling hot and warm and uncomfortable in my body. I mean, I am going through menopause. I'm sure our listeners here know all about that. And it's all over the place. And what I mean by that is my energy, my ka, ba, ra, my energy is all over the place. And I also think that with that energy, I know I've heard the word undulate a little bit here and there, and probably with the year of the snake, it's going to come in even more. But with those energies, there has to be a way to allow them to move in my body, so I can feel it in my body, not race away or not run away. And the drum truly helps me with that. I'm still learning and letting it become my canoe, and it's just been amazing for me because the drum allows me to come back to my roots as well as express from a higher place. I don't know how to describe it. It's like this pillar of energy that goes up and down and up and down, but it's incredibly melodic and there's a rhythm to it and it's steady.
Yeah, in the early days of, you know, some of my gateways that opened over time, in the early days when I'd start feeling that, it almost felt like I was like going to be coming out of my body, for example. Almost like the wave was going to take me out of my body. And that's possible to do that, but it's not necessary. It's whatever the reality you choose to kind of walk through. But I think one of the really important things to mention, if somebody's working with this energy or maybe hasn't worked with a teacher, the teacher's really important to understand that we're not supposed to kind of just hold this energy in us. It's supposed to move through us like a conduit would move, like through electricity. Like you talked about, the drumming is the grounding component. So if you're working through your 12-star chakra system, it's a good template for being able to ground and have that energy really go down through the spine into the earth. And a daily practice of doing that is profoundly important to stay grounded is working through these ascension processes. And I love how you talked about the drum, because a lot of times, and you and I have experienced this together in resonance, where you're drumming and you start drumming to the same beat, and it's almost like you're drumming to the heartbeat of the earth.
Right.
to the resonance of the earth, and that brings us into our bodies, into the earth, into the ground, into the dirt, the bones and the stones, my elder teacher was
I love that. Oh, I resonate with that, the bones and the stones. Oh, my goodness, I can feel it.
Otherwise, we're kind of flying out of our bodies all the time, and you have to still be able to sustain the body, the caught body. It's very, very important.
So, you know, it's interesting.
Working in star being energy.
So here's something, too, that I want to kind of bring up, because I was listening to something, and I don't know if you're feeling this. This was part of the reason, too, why we decided to have this stream, I guess you could say, this radio stream that we have going on here at the Heart Center. But part of it is because it seems as though this must be a time, these last 3 weeks or so, where I'm going to speak for myself, but I'm sure there's others that feel the same way, that we are going more inward, which obviously it's wintertime and we go more inward, but we're taking little bits of information, we're going inward with it, and we're almost, I'm going to use the word, spitting it back out. So I'm very fortunate that I have somebody that I can sit next to on an armchair, and we can talk about ETs, or we can talk about the Bible that was the parts that were left out, or all of these kind of mystery, mystic, esoteric, occultish kind of experiences and energies that have been kind of buried. And why I say that is something really cool just happened before. And I'm definitely getting to the point, too, where let's say if I'm watching something on Gaia and it's really resonating with me, I'm like, okay, stop that. We got to talk about this, you know?
And integrate it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And check this out and tell me what you think about this, because you are in the school systems now, so this is perfect for you. So I was really getting hits on the fact that if we are meant to move energy and we get quote unquote, and I'm going to use air quotes, but if we get excited about something, right, like a child that gets excited, or even an adult that gets excited, or a dog, or a cat. Well, dogs get really excited. You know, these animals, they're innately, there's a passion, there's a desire, there's an excitement in them. And think of how many times, or at least I'm going to speak from how I grew up in the school system that I grew up in, where you'd almost get your patty smacked for that excitement. Like, oh, you can't be excited about that. Oh, you can't. I mean, you've got to stay the line. You can't be like flying off the rails, because you know why? Because you're not easy to contain that way. And why I'm saying that is that passion, that excitement, that energy is what drives us. It drives us as humanity. It drives us as a collective, and as our ascended masters, or say the ETs or star brothers and sisters. That is also what connects us to the stars. I mean, think of all the things in your life that you remember because you were excited and it pushed you through something. And even, I know that some of the ascended masters, like the Buddhists and a lot of those Eastern philosophies and religions, teach you to almost like contain that excitement, you know? And I'm going to argue that, because I really think that childlike nature and excitement that was literally for especially those who might have been in like a Catholic school or, you know, grown up in these religious settings where you can't have that excitement, Amanda, because that excitement means that you aren't able to be gated or I call gated the other way.
Patriarchy.
Yeah, exactly. And here I am thinking, and here we are as adults, right? And our energy, our menopause energy, our undulating energy, our snaky energy is wanting to go all over the place. And we're remembering, oh, wait a minute, though. We have to be prim and proper and demure and bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that.
Well, and that's that fae energy, right, of living in your inner child,
yes!
Wanting to be free.
Yes!
And it's been suffocated and oppressed for, oh, gosh, centuries, right? And I'm so excited on where education is going. The people that I work with and the visionary thinking is just, it's really amazing. You can really see and feel the new earth right now. In the people that I experience and work with, there's this energy that this system has been broken and it needs to be fixed. And a lot of like ways of like reimagining what it can look like. And I have dear friends who do forest education. And my One of my friends has a forest education podcast and has worked with schools in the past as well. And they have kids come for summer camps and things like that. And it's a whole new level of living in the present moment and being creative and using imaginative play. And, you know, we really got away from that in trying to compete with China in the technology race. Over the last 2 decades in the education system. But I think we're really moving to this new era of wellness and creative freedom and really accepting everybody for their own unique essence. And it's really, really exciting. And I'm excited to be a part of it.
See, and you're using the words. It's exciting and I'm excited to be a part of it. We are the system busters. So here's the thing that I just kind of want to throw out there, and we can see where it goes. But I actually 100% mirror what you say. And even though, and I've always played this card throughout the years, I'm recognizing more and more certain patterns. And if they're patterns that I want to keep or habits that I want to, you know, that I want to change, but I tend to be, my finger tends to be on the pulse of a lot of things that are going on in the world. And I'm just going to use the word good, bad, you know, indifferent. I'm the observer, I'm the watcher. But I will say that I feel the same way. I feel like the golden age is upon us. I feel that we are breaking records and strides and through sound barriers and experiencing things like never before. And it is.
You know who you sound like when you're talking.
I don't.
You're channeling Trump right now because you said like never before. And his golden age too, which it's interesting and it's cool, but that's been, you know, that's this whole New Earth philosophy of back to those times of Shambhala and Avalon and that 5D walking through Earth with this inner child glory, like on these sacred
the golden
journeys,
age.
These beautiful women that I walk on these journeys with, and I meant to, we're like looking at a tree and admiring it. It's so excited about it. Feeling the energy of it. Like it's that inner child excitement that we have been so groomed to not experience as adults too. It's got to be so serious. And it's
exactly. Fun. And
it's
I don't know. I'm just going to put this out there. I want to sound like me, but in other words, and I appreciate what you said, and but the only thing that I can also equate it to, and I think you were on the call with me or on that meditation, but, is when we were doing, and I think it was some kind of Kabbalah, meditation with one of the people that you know, and I had drew a trumpet and I had written trumpet down there. And what I will simply say about that is, and it definitely happened last Thursday, is I am really finding my voice. And so if that means trumpet, I will take it and I will roll with it as long as, and I know it is because I have been spending, and I don't know if you've been feeling the same way, but oh my goodness, for about a week now, I've just been combing through papers and reading them and tossing them and deciding where they go. And almost everything I've ever written about my purpose or why I'm here is always to make this place better, to be a light worker, like from the time that I was little. And I think sometimes I forget what that means, and I'm not the only one, and there are so many of us now that are doing it. And I just want to kind of share a little bit about what happened with Thursday, because I feel like it's kind of tied into how we talked about wanting to end. So I went down to the sanctuary last Thursday, and all of a sudden I wanted to drum, and this is tied into the directions as well. And I was told that you're going to set up chairs in a certain way, the north, the east, the south, the west, and then the four corners as well. So there was the southwest, the northeast, the northwest, and the southeast. And I had to set up all of those chairs a certain way, and I had to drum around there. Well, what ended up happening was after I had set the chairs up and I started drumming, this guttural, like really loud guttural, I could feel it in my throat, Amanda, like it was like kind of like almost as if there was liquid in my throat. And it just came out and I just started chanting and started drumming and chanting and drumming. And I felt as though something, when I say something came out of me, and I know we can go there if we want, it's still hard for even me in, you know, to understand it. But when I say something came out of me, I know it's still me, but it was an aspect or something that came out of me. And that was also the day that I had done the trans channeling. But why I'm saying that is many of us are finding our voices, and I don't necessarily mean like we're finding our voices in many different ways. We're finding our freedom of expression. We're finding our energy and allowing our energy to move through us. And that's what is exciting, is to be around people like that. Because the more we are around people like that, or when we do these podcasts and someone listens to this and they're like, wow, so much of what this person is saying, I'm either doing or I'm not doing, and now I know I need to do it, is we're just like, we're just helping. We're helping to raise that vibration in whatever way we can.
Yeah, and it's like sound healing. And, you know, we've talked about the gateways, and what you did, what you did was open a portal for that energy to flow through you again, like the conduit we were talking about earlier. And I've been trained in ancient tones intentionally, consciously work through an ascension process. We're all ascending, whether you do it consciously or not is a choice. So the ancient tones that I work through will bring through a certain frequency through the body. Just like if you're laying at a sound healing session and somebody's doing singing bowls, for example, right? And the energy, just like waves when a pebble hits the water and you see the waves go through, that energy will work through the more dense energies. And sometimes there'll be a clearing in that moment, just like Reiki or shamanic energetic healing that you and I do. That higher frequency energy hits that more dense energy, and then a release occurs. And often there will be imagery in the third eye, or a memory comes in, or tears start to fall from the client, and something has been released. It's like a soul retrieval shamanically.
Right.
And these ancient tones do that. That light language, you and I have done a class on light language before as well.
Mm-hmm.
So fun and so sacred and so beautiful.
Yeah.
But the beauty of that, so a lot of these ancient traditions have these chants and these sounds that when your voice also has to be activated for them too. You can't just, you know, try to do them and then expect it to have that frequency come through, for example. So when the voice is activated to be able to hold that certain chant or that certain sound vibration, that's again another gateway. And once you can, the amount of alchemy that will occur in your body can happen really quickly. So there's a lot of conversation about, can a person ascend in a lifetime? And the answer is yes, especially when you're dedicated and you have a daily practice and you're working through this every day. I can say in my own life, there are weeks that I go without doing it and I feel the difference and I see the difference and my reality is different. And then, you know, so a lot of these teachings are coming out, they're coming forward because the collective is ready for them and they're excited for them and they understand them and there's not fear associated with them anymore.
Love that. I love the chanting and the tones. It reminds me, when you were just talking, it reminds me of, I was ordained in the Order of Melchizedek, and it was done up in Lilydale, but it was through the Fellowships of Spirit, but it was also part of a different organization. So it was one of those things where, you know, it'd be like me going up to Lilydale and teaching a class that if I lived that close by, but I wasn't doing it through Fellowships of Spirit or Lilydale. So long story short, the person who ordained me through the Order of Melchizedek, one of the things, and it was about a 2-day process, and one of the things that he had done with us was he toned with us, and part of the ordination was through the toning. And I remember it so clearly because, you know, and it was back in 2012, I believe, but he came up to each one of us and he would tone right next to us with us. And he would actually be almost like, I don't know if it would be an activate, I guess it would be an activation of some sort, but it felt very grounding and very, very familiar. Like that whole experience with the Order of Melchizedek, it was just all an incredibly, familiar experience. And when you were talking about the singing bowls, and I'm not, again, I just put information out there and people can decide for themselves if it's true for them, but I'm just going to say it. When you were talking about the singing bowls, it made me think of, you know, how like sometimes we need that tool to activate what is already within us. Maybe mm-hmm. the singing bowls are sort of like that particular tool, because I find now when I use the singing bowls or when I drum, my voice wants to automatically come first before any tool or any type of musical thing that I'm working with. So for instance, like even when I'm starting to do the singing bowl, I can feel myself wanting to say, you know, oh, or ah, or ee, or any of those things. And I don't know what I'm saying, but it feels good and feels right. And there's a harmony to it. And then it's almost like the instruments, they accompany the song. And it used to be the other way around. It'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to drum or I'm going to, now it's like that comes out before the instrument.
Yeah, and then you come into this beautiful harmonic convergence as a result of it.
Ah.
And I know you and I have done that together. It's the same resonance, which is mind-blowing when it happens. It's like, wow. Another point, too, there's a lot of I want to be very careful with my wording on this because it's such a sacred thing to talk about. But when we talk about Christ consciousness, and I've been shown and have experienced it more as crystal consciousness, this Christos of crystalline energy. And there's crystals all throughout the earth plane that we can connect to. And once you're activated, especially to do energy healing, you can start working with crystals and you can feel them. I taste them. I can feel each of their different essence. Like it goes up through my energy body and my light body. And it's the crystalline frequencies that we get to a point that we begin to hold that we don't even have to open the mouth, which is really beautiful. So mm-hmm. you're talking about your ordainment and mine and some of the activations I've had to do vibrational acoustic healing is just putting my hands up and the energies of the crystalline energies that I'm holding in my being will come through depending on what the person is ready for or needs. And that is the vibrational acoustics are often sometimes even beyond the sound that a human can perceive of, which is interesting. And, you know, for me, I at one point started running cold energy and it freaked me out, to be honest with you. So if there's anybody out there who does energy healing and all of a sudden they're running cold energy, it's don't worry, you're good. So it was more of this like ultralight frequency that was coming through my body and it was coming out as cold, and it works really profoundly in the fascia of the body, which they've done a lot of research on and found that the fascia is kind of like this conduit system throughout your body that carries all these energies. And often when we're in more of these dense frequencies of fear and shame and guilt, we can hold a lot of these frequencies that are more harming or cause cortisol rushes to the brain, for example, and that over time really depletes the organs and things like that. So that running of this crystalline energy, and if you work with a shaman and you work, you know, starting with Reiki is a great place to start, to just start running that energy through your being. It really cleanses and keeps you clear and keeps you open and healthy.
Yeah, that's, you know, I feel like there's a lot of ways to do what you're talking about. I mean,
and each lineage too.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. There's yeah, sure. singing, there's, oh gosh, I swear I have this conversation with so many people all the time, like, How do you channel? How do you connect with your higher self? How do you get messages? How do you, you know, the how do you? And the answer is clear. Purify, clear the mind, the body, the spirit, and connect, make contact. I mean, I don't think I told you this, but when you were talking before about that crystalline energy and the Christos, and maybe there is some connection to this. When, again, and I will use the concept, the drum, for whatever reason, is coming up, it keeps coming up. It was December 22nd, I had went down to the sanctuary, and it wasn't December 21st, even though that was the solstice, it was December 22nd, I went down to the sanctuary, and I was told to drum and sage and kind of like redo I almost want to say the template, but also I knew that the space was telling me what to do. So I can't necessarily say like, oh, I redid the template. It's like the space was telling me what to do. And I merged with the energy of the space. But at one point, I remember looking on the stage and I saw Christ as this incredible, beautiful being. And he was motioning to me with his fingers. And it's interesting because now I just found out as of last Thursday, someone had brought a book and they had showed me some fingers that in this book, it was tied into this Pleiadian transmission. And it was the same thing that I had seen up on stage. So, and I was like, wow. So to me, that was like, I almost feel like, well, crystal clear, got the message, right? Got the connection.
Well, yeah, really crystal clear.
Yeah. Well, so it gets even better. And this was really beautiful. So I'm acknowledging Christ up on the stage and I'm like, hey buddy, thanks for being here, you know, and I must be on the right track. Well, you know, and as I was getting ready to go, and you know the spot because you like this spot very much, I went up on the stage, and as I was looking to the west with the east in back of me, all of a sudden I saw this beautiful iridescent plasma energy, like totally encapsulating the entire sanctuary. And that's when I heard and saw, I had heard that we had a mothership above, and that energy was just, that beautiful plasma energy was coming down. So I kind of sort of knew what that meant, but I was also like, sometimes those things are like, wow, that's huge. Okay, I'm going to shut the door now, give my thanks, and just
kind of a little bit, right?
Yeah, carry on now, carry on. So I really didn't know what that was about, but ever since then, it's been obvious to me that there's this making contact. Right? Making contact. And so and this antenna, this broadcast, this radio, this crystalline, and I think,
yeah,
I think if I'd have to ask Eric, but he was just telling me the other day that when he was in college, he did stuff with radios. And I think I'd have to ask him, maybe you remember too, but there is something about a crystal in radios and clocks and things like that.
All that technology, yeah.
All
tech. They work off of the crystal. Yep. And computers.
Yeah. See.
And AI.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love what you said, because the different perceptions of Christos and Christ consciousness, depending on the tradition you work through, will create the reality template that you live by. And, you know, some of the things Renee and I are saying may not have ever been heard for some before. And I think it's really important to say, you know, when Yeshua is rubbing, and I say Yeshua because they changed the name to Jesus, he was born Yeshua, and there's a specific sound vibration with that that's really important that was hijacked, and that's connected back into Shu in Egypt. Mm. And when he's rubbing Mary Magdalene's feet, or Mary Magdalene is rubbing his feet, that is them grounding, because they're holding that star being conduit. And they both were. And, you know, whether or not you believe that is completely your reality creation, and that's the free creation field to be able to create what reality you want to. And each timeline will be different based on how that's perceived or how that's taken in. But the the tricky part is that their original teachings were profoundly suppressed and oppressed, and people were murdered, genocide, for even talking about it. So the collective at the time wasn't ready for it, but they planted some very profound seeds in the holographic grids in the earth plane for this to awaken later, again, in the truth of it all, not in the lies and the deception and the hijack. And I think, you know, we're ready now, so it's coming through again.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's very, very exciting.
It is, because I think there are so many of us that have known something isn't right, and we're recognizing that we are no longer the weird ones. We are no longer the ones that have been ostracized or like it's, and especially those of us, I mean, I've been on the planet a little bit longer than you. I'm just going to say that just a little bit longer than you. But especially those of us that, you know, have been doing this. I mean, for myself, I've been doing this like consciously for 20 something years. And, you know, it's been like my father used to say, he's like, Renee, he's like, you're a pioneer in your field. You're a pioneer, but just, you know, keep doing it. I don't understand it, but just keep doing it. And, you're going through your own healing process and you're remembering and you're like, oh, see, I recall that when I was younger. I remember when these beings would visit me, and I knew that there was life in other planets, and I knew the fairies existed. And now it's so wonderful to be able to have those conversations with people, because it is becoming more the norm. And that's kind of what I'm almost seeing. Like, I'm getting this visual of things are just kind of flipping around, and that there's more of us that are going to use our trumpets to remember what it was that we were told to forget so long ago. And we aren't going to have to maybe use our trumpets so loud. Maybe we are going to be able to do it from a more gentler, more resonant kind of place. And it is indeed it's a very exciting time for sure. I think that...
It's interesting, the Trump thing and the trumpets, though, because that's the revelations. The seven trumpets are the chakras. And, you know, playing those trumpets opens these gateways. Activating the sounds opens those gateways. And, you know, people didn't talk about it. They were having these experiences, but they weren't talking about it because they were afraid. It wasn't safe to do so, which is horrible because it's so sacred and it's beautiful. And the fear that some have had from these experiences because they were told it was evil is mortifying. The fear matrices and pathways that have been in the neural pathways of the mind for a very long time that are healing now. And I think that that's a perfect segue, but it is interesting because the ET, the H-E-T in Egypt is Het, which is feminine. So Trump Het. I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So interesting timing. And I think now that we've kind of traveled multidimensionally in this conversation out to your Pleiadian starship, do you want to bring us back into the earth and drum a little bit?
You have great timing. I do. I really do. I just want to simply say, because it's a perfect, like you said, perfect segue. I think it's not so much that, I mean, back in the day, it was the Essenes and the Adepts and the Initiates that met underground. They met underground. And we remember that. There are many of us that remember that. When we actually started this and we were talking, I forget at what point, but we started this. So I just love that we're closing the circuit this way. I was literally feeling the earth and really being okay with the insects around me and stuff and being like, yeah, you're my brothers and sisters. I mean, it's all good. You're not, you know, I mean, I love you too. I love you.
It's amazing what happens when it goes away. And then they have I have amazing moments with spiders and bees and it's really sacred.
Yeah.
The fear is gone.
Yeah. It's like, I love you. I remember you. You're part of me. I can learn something from you. So, I think that, you know, it's all these different realities, but sure, I am totally cool with that. We will, I love the drumming out. I am going to just simply, for our listeners and for you, Amanda, and for myself, just imagine that tree root. The north, remember, the north is behind me. So imagine your ancestors, the trees, the roots, and just listen Listen to whatever it is that you need to hear.
Beautiful harmonic conversions. Thank you so.
Thank you.
Feeling that in the heart drum beat. My circles are so powerfully connective and cohesive and remind us that we are one.
Aho.
And to all listening, bless you, and whatever you take from this conversation, whatever you leave from this conversation, it's most important that you take what resonates for you and leave the rest. And maybe one day it will, and maybe one day it won't. And that's the beauty of your own free creation, sacred path. Blessings on each step.
Blessings.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Amanda.